Both of our scripture readings this morning are from Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. Our first lesson is from chapter 1, beginning to read at 15. This is a very early hymn of the church. Let us pray. Lord, we give thanks you've gathered us together as a community of faith here in this place. We open our minds and our hearts to your presence, and we ask that we hear your word and it dwell in us today and always. This we pray in the name of our risen Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Our second lesson is in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord. This passage that we read from Paul in Colossians, what an incredible statement of faith that is. The grandeur and the glory of Christ, the magnificence and the majesty of God, all that exists comes from God. Think of the enormity of that statement. All that exists, everything. Everything that we can see, everything that we can imagine, that which we've already discovered and that which we have yet to find, all, everything comes from God. And everything that is in Christ. All, everything, all of creation. And we think of ourselves and we can wonder, where are we in the midst of all of this? I mean, we're really just tiny specks in the enormity of the vastness of the universe. This planet is a tiny speck in that enormity. Close your eyes for a moment and listen again to Paul's words from this letter. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through the blood shed on the cross. So in the vastness of this creation, God made us especially for him. We were created in his image. We were created for his glory. So in all of God's creation, we have a special place and a special relationship to Him. And that relationship is so special that when it was damaged, God Himself came through His Son to mend that broken relationship. The church. Everyone in the church has struggled for centuries with how was God present in Jesus? It's wrestled with the issue of how could Jesus be both divine and human? He had to be human if His sacrifice was to be meaningful as an offering on our behalf. And He had to be divine in order to do that at all. But Paul here doesn't seem to have any problem with that. He understands the dual nature quite well. Jesus was divine and He was human, but in this passage in Colossians, he's offering a fantastic explanation of who Jesus the Christ is. And Jesus can be identified with wisdom. We find that in Proverbs 8, where it says, this is wisdom speaking. I was there when He set the heavens in place, when He marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when He established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when He gave the sea its boundary so the waters would not overstep His command, and when He marked out the foundations of the earth. In Jesus the Christ, the character of God has been perfectly revealed. His person reveals who the Father is, a God of love, a God of grace, a God who comes down and takes on our own form in order to reconcile us to Himself. And Jesus the Christ was pre-existent from the beginning, prior to all creation. In fact, in Christ, all creation has been brought into existence. The creative act of God was an act in Christ. From the highest to the lowest, all have been created in Christ. Think of the enormity of that statement. It's so easy to comprehend the inclusiveness within this world. Thrones and dominions, we understand that. Principalities and powers, sure, they're all under the authority of Christ. But Paul is speaking here of even broader terms. Here's the God of all history, the God of all creation. All that exists is summed up in Christ. He is the pre-existent one, the one who was prior to creation. He is the one who sustains and unifies the universe. Think, if you will, of the time of Jesus' crucifixion. The earth trembled. The skies went black. The lightning flashed and the thunder sounded. For one very brief moment, Jesus had to die in order to rise again and be the firstborn in the resurrection, as well as the firstborn of all creation. All things hold together in Him because He is the continual creative force of it all. So Paul is revealing the truth about the entire cosmos in this letter. It's such a broad statement. The God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, the God of the Jews and the God of the Christians, they're the same God. So often some people within the church have seen two different gods. The God of the Old Testament is a God of wrath. The God of the New Testament is a God of love. But that's wrong. There is one God, and He is a God of eternal love. From the time of creation, when He created the world and humankind in His image, He has been a God of continuing love and forgiveness and striving to bring His creation back into His loving grasp. This same God loved us so much that He took on our nature in order for that reconciliation to take place. Jesus was not just some human being who had a special understanding of God, who had some unique insights that other people didn't seem to have. He wasn't just a person who had a better grasp of Scripture than others around Him in His day, that gave him a more elaborate knowledge of God. In Christ, We are reconciled to God. This is fundamental to the gospel, the restoration of a lost relationship now made whole. Because of humanity's sin and disobedience and rebelliousness, the relationship which existed between humanity and God was compounded by estrangement and hostility and fear. But because of what Jesus the Christ has done, that grim relationship has been replaced by a relationship of trusting love. It's the removal of the barriers that were between us, the substitution of a relationship of love for what was a relationship of fear, a relationship of intimacy for what had been a relationship of distance. And Paul is very intentional about this here. In Christ, all of creation has its focus in him. This is one of my favorite parts of Scripture. It is so wonderfully poetic, and at the same time, it's philosophically rich and theologically solid, and yet it's still practical and very comforting when you read it and think about it. Here is the Christ who was, who is, and who will be. It's a passage that we really need to listen to, that we have to hear with our ears but comprehend in our hearts. And it's a passage that I really believe begs us to close our eyes and open our minds and our hearts to the eternal presence of God. So again, I want you to listen clearly to this as I emphasize Christ. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Christ all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority. All things were created by Christ and for Christ. Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And Christ is the head of the body, the church. Christ is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything Christ might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through Christ's blood shed on the cross. From pre-existence to death on the cross, God has come among us and is with us even now. This is a God who is not some philosophical abstraction. He's not some random idea that people may think of from time to time. This is not a God about whom we argue over whether he's real or not. It's not a God about who we might cleverly devise some logical proofs for his existence. This is a God that we come to know personally. We experience God for ourselves. You open your heart and your mind to his presence, and you feel that presence in yourself, and you come to know and understand God. It's not a disinterested or distant deity, one who casually looks down on his creation and says, okay, that's good so far. No, it's a God who cares about you and he cares about me. He reaches out to us and hugs us and says, call me Abba, Father. So the firstborn of all creation comes into human history to redeem to himself and to launch into the stream of human history, the church. The church is the community of redeemed persons. The church begins in history when the incarnate Christ lives through the tragedy of our human lot, the utter despair and the depth of anger and misgivings that we have felt. And in love, he outlives the enormity of that sinfulness. And he becomes the firstborn from the dead, signaling a new relationship, a restored relationship with God. The earthly life and mission of Jesus is given its true place when it is seen in its cosmic setting as the beginning of that new relationship of a redeemed humanity to God. So the theme and the scope of the gospel is the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who effects and makes possible that new relationship for everyone who follows him. Jesus, the head of all creation, and of those who follow him, the church. So the church is not just a group of people who simply want to go and talk about Jesus and teach about the things he taught. The church becomes a living organism on a cosmic scale with Jesus as the source of our life. The church is God at work in the world. And you are a part of that church. You are a part of the body of Christ. John's vision in the book of Revelation. We find that in the holy city there is no temple. But he saw the holy city that came down from heaven, from God. That is where God and his people dwell together. Jesus gathered his first followers. He chose 12 that they would be with him. And though we're often divided into different factions and denominations, all have their birth from that very first initial fellowship. And we work and we grow so that we may be united in Christ. The church, the larger church, is the fellowship of the family of God. And you're part of that fellowship for all time. All that Paul is emphasizing in this passage, the glory of God, the majesty of Christ, means you are part of his family. You are not insignificant. You are not a speck of dust in the universe, but we're all important in the eyes of God, and Christ has come among us and redeemed us. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood and shed on the cross. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy, holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. This is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.